Bibles to Romans chapter 4. And be sure you're in fellowship. Generic rebound works. You can't remember something. And that's easy enough to do. All right. The case of Abraham. And this will... Obviously, Abraham is revered in three major religions on the earth. Okay? Among the Jewish, of course, Christian, and Muslim. They consider him special. Well, his story is found in Genesis and takes up quite a few chapters in the book of Genesis. So, if we're going to talk about salvation and the way of salvation, we ought to key off on Abraham, who is the father of us all, who are believers. Paul introduces it as, "What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found or discovered?" Interrogative particle, tis, what? Inferential conjunction, then or therefore. Shall we say? Future active indicative of ipon, say, that Abraham, our father, definite article, the word for forefather, rather, is pro pater. Has found is the perfect infinitive of the verb heurisko, to find something, to discover something. And then we have according to flesh, kata with sarx. That needs to be explained. But basically what it is what was his life experience? What did he find to be true with regard to this matter? For if Abraham was justified by works, that's your one option. For if Abraham was justified, aorist passive indicative, and this carries over from the preceding, he has present active indicative to have something. He has kalkema, which means basis for boasting. A basis for boasting. But he denies this, but not pros before God. Well, what does the scripture say? Oh, we can appeal to that. How about we appeal to the Bible? That's what we try to do to establish everything that we teach. It's an appeal to scripture. Now, yes, there are people right and left that take scriptures out of context, out of immediate context or out of theological context, and wreak havoc with things. But the appeal to Scripture, in this instance, comes from a certain citation in the Old Testament that is recorded in connection with an event in the life of Abraham. For what does the Scripture say? The word Scripture is writing, graphe, like we get graph and so forth. What does the scripture say with the article? say is present active indicative lego. Abraham believed God. Aorist active indicative of pistuo. Pistuo is the basic verb to believe. We have the noun pistis for faith, the cognate noun. Abraham believed God. This quotation here in Romans is taken from the Greek version of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, abbreviated LXX, Latin number for 70. LXX. There is the Hebrew, which we'll probably look at too, because it's, I think, more expressive. Because in the Hebrew, it says Abraham believed in the Lord. And it was credited. Now here's our key verb, at least one of them, is logizomai. Logizomai can be used as an accounting term, for instance, to credit to someone's account. It can also be translated impute. Credit or impute are synonyms. And it, what's it? His faith. He gave God faith at a point in his life, initial saving faith, and God gave him plus R. And it was credited to him as righteousness. He'd be like waking up one day and finding out, this is just maybe a little bit of a lame illustration, you're broke, you don't know how you're going to take care of this and that. You go to the bank because you have a little money to deposit, and you find out that somebody credited $50 million to your account. You say, well, this is a mistake. Sir, it isn't a mistake. We checked it all out. This, it's an anonymous donor, and it's completely, totally, 100% legit. We thought it was off the wall, too, but we went looking around, and it's all bona fide. Enjoy. So that would be credited to your account. So plus R is credited to the account of the believer. It's part of the salvation imputation factor when a person believes, along with eternal life. If you don't have plus R, you can't have the eternal life one. So logically, the plus R comes first. I know they all come at once. I understand that. But logically, the plus R is the basis for the giving of the eternal life factor. Imputed to your soul with a human spirit. You can't see it. How do you know about it? Study the Bible. Like anything else. And it was credited to him as righteousness, dikaiosune. Continuing. Now, to the one who works, this is the person out here that's trying to, you know, work their way to heaven. Good deeds. Avoid this. Do this. Be all these things. I think there's probably a lot of people, well, I don't know how many people, but there are people that maybe they, in the back of their mind, hope that their big charitable outpouring and everything is going to get them credits with God. Well, if they get any credits with God, it's only going to be temporal. And a lot of charities are nothing but scams. But now to the one who works. Particle de, the one working. Present, deponent, participle. Ergazomai. We had ergon for works, now we have the verb. The one who works, his wage. Definite article, misthos, means wage. Is not credited, according as a favor. Now that's the New American Standard Translation. It is not, strong negative, with logizomai, it is not credited according to a favor. But the word favor is the word grace. I suppose in a lesser way, the word charis was used as I'm doing someone a favor, a gratuitous favor. And so in human relationships, that would be used that way. But brought into the New Testament, it's grace, it's God's grace, is not credited according to grace. If you took this literally, kata with charis. But, strong adversative, according to, same preposition, what is due. What is due means a debt. Ophilema. And we know what's due. That would be absolute perfection. That's out of the question. Okay. Verse 5. By contrast, but to the one who does not work, but to the one who does not work. The one not working. It's the negative me with the present deponent participle, ergazomai. But believes. Present active participle, pistuo. But believes in him, in him. It's believes in the one justifying, present active participle, dikaiao, the one justifying another synonym for, we have sinners, we have other words, the ungodly, asebes, ungodly. His faith, pistis, is credited, present passive indicative, logizomai, as righteousness. Now every angle you approach this from these verses, it is transparently clear that the works crowd is out. And the faith crowd, as long as it's in Jesus Christ, is in. Period. I don't have to say which one are you, because at least for most of you, maybe minus a person or so, I know that you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And for some of you, way back in time. It doesn't matter how far back, it's just that you're a believer. Wherever you heard the gospel and latched onto it for the first time. One-on-one witnessing, some church service, some radio program, I don't know. I got mine in a revival. Fundy revival. That's where I believed. Junior in high school. It's only 60 years ago. Boy, time flies, doesn't it? When you're having fun. It's mind-boggling, really, when you get down to it. So one, here Paul proceeds to document from the Old Testament the doctrine he's introduced in chapter 3. There, he argued, for justification by faith over against justification by works. At 3:20, 22, 26, 27, 28, and 30. Three, he appeals first of all to the example of Abraham. That's a great place to start. Yes, Abraham, there was all these believers before him, but because of his history and the nature of circumstances surrounding his call and this Abrahamic covenant thing, he's the perfect one to pick for the example for all time of how you're saved and how you're supposed to perform after the fact. To Abraham is or was at the heart and center of the Jewish position. Notice how many times his name comes up in connection with the ministry of Christ in the gospel accounts. We have Abraham to our father, the unbelieving Jew would say. And Jesus' response on one occasion was, Abraham doesn't do is not trying to kill somebody because they speak the truth. And then Jesus would say, your father. You want to know who your father is? Let me introduce him to you. He's the devil. Now that sounds like just being mean, right? It's not. It's truth. They're unbelievers. And the spiritual father of all who are unbelievers is Satan. We're a part of the kingdom of Satan. And when we believed in Christ, we are brought into the kingdom of God. We don't go anywhere. We're just now in the kingdom of God, where we were under the rule and dominion of Satan. And the end result, if you stay there, the end result, you share his destiny. Lake of fire. Because we're born spiritually dead and under this curse, so you're of your father, the devil. You want to get your paternity right here? And so your racial connection to Abraham gets you nothing. Nothing. Unless you get your act together spiritually. It's amazing how far offline people can get. The Jews had this verse in front of them all their history. They read it, no doubt, a million times. They had this verse, chapter and verse. Well, they didn't call it chapter and verse then, but they had it. What then is transitional and not inferential? The idea here is, what was the case as far as Abraham was concerned? Topic of discussion. The designation, our forefather, is not to be taken as forefather by natural generation. Verses 11 and 12, and he received the sign of circumcision, the external ritual, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised, so that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, that righteousness may be credited to them, and the father of circumcision to those who are of the circumcision, but who also follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. Now that's a big mouthful. I know that. But we will get to that. And we will get to the point, it's coming up down the road, what are the steps of Abraham? So I thought there was only one step to salvation. That is, there is. But there's a couple other steps. And everything that Abraham did to make all three adjustments to God, and after he made the maturity adjustment, when he cracked the maturity barrier, he held on to that to the end. You can even mess up maturity. You can't mess up salvation. You can mess up the maturity adjustment. It's a sad thing to watch, by the way. It's very sad. That's a part of the ministry that's unfun. Very unfun. It's not a good word, but that's, you know what I mean. And everybody out here, you know, that has made the maturity adjustment, God knows. And you don't make that overnight. There isn't a quick way, you know, to get yourself to maturity. Be like being totally out of shape and all, or a complete wreck physically because of diet and other things, and you decide you're going to get you in prime condition that you could be on the cover of a magazine. Well, it's going to take a little bit. You're going to have to retool totally and suffer. It isn't all going to be wonderful. So Abraham is the spiritual godfather of all who are like him in the matter of justification, for starters. Our refers, therefore, to believers. Our forefather, not to be excluded to Jewish believers, but Gentile believers as well. Elsewhere in the New Testament, he is called this forefather thing, our father. He is set up as an example and the plan of God as a believer who would be a spiritual father to the rest of us. Not that he beget us in that sense. He did perpetuate the line of Christ at a critical moment in history. Critical, not because God was, you know, had any difficulty, but it's critical from the standpoint of human observation. The observation of Abraham and Sarah, for them to observe and to hold fast in the face of the fact that this great promise to Abraham that he would have an heir, at least one, and that ultimately in him a person would pop up in whom all families of the earth could be blessed. Jesus Christ. He's a descendant of Abraham. Direct line, by the way. Not just Jewish general. Now, according to the flesh, is not to be taken in a negative sense as something sinful. Because sometimes flesh is used in the Bible for the sin nature. It's one of the synonyms. But sometimes it's just used for the matter that covers your skeleton. Sometimes it's used, as it is here, or even the energy of the flesh. It is to be understood as follows. As found according to the flesh. In other words, 12, what was his life's experience with regards to the issue of justification? We're using justification as a synonym for the overall term salvation. We could use redemption, but in this we're dealing with justification because it involves that mechanic whereby God credits to the account of the one who believes in Christ plus R. Now you got the pass, you can get in now. You're already in, but I mean, you can enjoy the afterlife benefits. and are they going to be phenomenal? And that's why one of the reasons why we hang in here. Otherwise, we just go home. Why do I have to put up with all this suffering? I'll just go home and watch the game. Look at a cooking show program. One in a million. Whatever. Get in my vehicle and go run around somewhere. Go on a shopping spree. Travel doesn't, in some cases, doesn't sound very attractive today. But I've got to go through all that to get to my favorite tropical site. Okay. What should we say or conclude is left to the evidence Paul supplies in the verses that follow. Verse 2 opens with a hypothetical first-class condition and follows with a logical supposition. If Abraham was justified by works, he has grounds for boasting. Look what I did. I lived up to all this, this, and I was given the gift of salvation. Okay? Theoretically, we look at it because it's a theoretical concept. It's undoable, but we look at it theoretically. If you could do that, first-class condition, you'd have a basis to boast. Look what I did. Look what I accomplished. Well, that's off the table. But anyway, of course, Paul... That is the logical conclusion arising from what he has found hypothetically. 17, of course, Paul is not making a supposition that has any merit. It is merely a hypothesis for the sake of refutation. Setting up the straw man, shoot it down. We do that sometimes. We do that with doctrine a lot. If this is true, then let's look at this. And let's see if this stands up to Scripture, and in some instances, to basic human reasoning. That position is not reasonable. We do this with evolution. It's not reasonable. Oh, you can scream and yell all you want, but it's not reasonable. You can say, well, you weren't schooled in this, thank God. I had enough of it. I heard enough of it. And the same thing with the flat earth and the rest of it. It has to match up. And so, away we go. So I did this with the blood of Christ. I've done it with the identification of the Antichrist, just to use a few examples. Why? This makes sense. So I put the evidence in front of people. Take it or leave it. I can't do any more with it. Praying for you is not going to help if you aren't doing your part. Sitting down, praying about stuff, and thinking it through, and being willing, if necessary, to eat crow. I've had to eat a dish or plate of that or two. So what? It's better that than to hold on to my stubborn pride to the end. So I pray all the time. You can take my word for it or not. Now I know I could be hiding stuff, but I'm not hiding anything from you doctrinally. But I pray all the time. Get the truth to me so I can dispense it to the royal family. I don't care what it is. If I have to change something, I'll change it. Or add to it. Augment it, because we grow in grace and knowledge. And I don't care how many years you've been on doctrine. You're growing in knowledge. You're assimilating information. But the knowledge doesn't do you any good if you can't put it together with things and have discernment and understanding. It's critical. But you have to spend some personal time thinking about things and praying about stuff. So Paul categorically denies the conclusion with the words, not before God. Let's snap back to reality. He has grounds for boasting if he could be justified by faith, but guess what? Not before God. And if you can't boast effectively before God, you've had it. I have boasts. Yeah. Not, oh, look what I did. But I boast in the truth, the knowledge of the truth, the understanding of the truth. So let him who boasts not boast in his wealth, in his human assets, human advantages that people have out here, and have had all through history? Birth, born into royalty. Most of those people are so corrupt it isn't funny. Now, there's exceptions. Boast in all that. Boast in their possessions. Boast in their wealth, their strength. Let him boast in God. You can run that verse down in the Old Testament. You have a concordance system. Just look up the word boast and go through the Bible. There's sinful boasting and sanctified boasting. We've got the truth. You listen to it, you go to maturity, and you're going to be a happy camper at the Bema seat. Real happy. And I don't care if you're real new around here. No matter. If you're taking it seriously, God will evaluate you because He knows what's going on between your ears. You can play games with people. They do it all the time. But everything we have to do with God is laid bare, and He sees every scintilla of it. You can't pull anything off on Him. Only the reversionist thinks he can do evil and God doesn't see. It's in one of the Psalms. What idiots. They see, God sees what's going on out there. He's got it all set. He's setting all these people up. And this evil. It sounds like it's overwhelming. And what are we going to do? And oh, now we're going to start killing off people right and left. Well, if some of us die as a result of this COVID mess that's come down on us, then we go to heaven. Just be sure you die in the faith. That's all. You could die another way. We've seen a couple examples around here lately, haven't we? Unexpected. One day you're alive, healthy, and the next you're in heaven. And no, a brick didn't fall on your head. You didn't have a head-on collision. God just took you home. The thing is, finishing your course. That's what ought to be on your prayer list all the time. I'm not saying, I got it all together and I have problems. God, you know if I have problems. And you know if there's any tweaking or any major changes you need to do to get my attention and get me where I need to be. But otherwise, I'm just going to go along as I am. Because I want to get the crown. Well, you did so-and-so real bad. You can rebound that. You can snap out of that in a New York minute and be back on track. I don't care what kind of evil you're doing. You might be involved in some evil that if you continue to perpetuate it, you're going to hit that proverbial brick wall. But as long as you got breath and you can breathe and you can think and you can respond to the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit, you can make the adjustment. Even if it's a big one out of a big sin. Okay? I've said that a million times. I give you examples from the Bible. What do you think we have these examples in the Bible for? Just fun little Bible stories? Like Sunday school stuff? Yeah, I was in the little Sunday school stuff. What do you think, brother? Great. I sat there thinking, this is pathetic. And we got a little manual and we go through. We didn't get anything out of it. I could have studied Samson until I fell over dead, and I'd never figured this out. Oh, I know he was a big, strong guy, and he did all this, and he killed all these Philistines, and he died the way he died. But I didn't have the spiritual lesson. I just had some bits. I didn't have the spiritual lesson. No Baptist preacher is going to say, "Well, you could have been shacked up with this woman called Delilah, and told her the secret to your strength." And got your eyes gouged out. Sounds like divine discipline to me, doesn't it, you? Because his eyes are what got him in trouble. Come on, you can laugh. We can still laugh around here. Okay, it wasn't funny. Okay. So he's sleeping with this high and mighty Philistine woman named Delilah. Now, Baptist preacher couldn't even handle that. The ones I were around doing. How could you do that and be a Christian? Come on. Wake up. I can do anything. Anyway, he turned his act around on his deathbed, so to speak. He killed himself by pulling down those pillars and everything crashing on him. And she's probably out there. Even as a lover, she wasn't anything. She wasn't anything you want to. I'm working in a Mother's Day lesson. I think I can do this. before we leave. Actually, it's not the one I wanted to pick. I wanted to pick a good female from the Bible. I wanted to pick a good female that got married and had children. Rahab the prostitute. You've got to love that one. One out of a million out of all those Canaanites who had something going on up here in her head while she was running a brothel. Have you ever connected the dots? She was positive. She's thinking, look at those Jews. God, she had inside intelligence report that they're coming and they're moving closer and food's falling out of heaven. And 40 years earlier, the Egyptians were all wiped out. Not all the Egyptians, but you know what I mean. And they're shaking in their sandals. They're coming our way. So you know what a smart person does? How can I survive? How can I survive this? Because they're going to kill me too. They're coming to take the land. She got all the information she could get and she didn't have a Bible in front of her. She had reports. And she had common sense. And she said, the God of Israel must be greater than all of our gods because He was greater than all the gods of Egypt. They couldn't do anything to stop what happened. So if I get an opportunity, I'm going to hook up with the Israelites. Now, I don't know how I'm going to do that. And when the news that spies were in the town, she goes, I got a plan. And they came into her establishment. And she hid them on the roof. And she made a deal with them. I will keep your confidence when they come looking for you. If you'll protect me and my family when it's time for Jericho to go down. They said a deal. You do your part, you'll be fine. You put that red cord out there and you're safe. And the story ends with her and her family being rescued. And it doesn't end there. And she's always referred to in the Bible, the genealogy of Rahab the prostitute. Rahab the prostitute. You know why? Not to be salacious, but to show grace. Grace for a prostitute. She married into the line of Christ. It's right there in your Bible. She married a man in the tribe of Judah who was in the line of Christ. And fathered a child, and down we go, and we get to David and all and beyond. So there's your Mother's Day lesson. All right, I'm going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to end right here. And we are going to do the Lord's table. Thank you, Father, for the time together. Bless our understanding in Christ's name.